It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way, Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel alongside. Always enjoy their company, have a lot of fun. Not an app guy. Here's cleanup from hour number one. Said, this is what 100 pounds of cocaine looks like according to SNL. That Steven Tyler photo there. Shout out to Texas getting another local product kicker to commit to Longhorns. We talked about that yesterday,
Will
Jeff.
Stone out at Regents. Snoop, did you get him booked for
Snoop
the Flex
Snoop says he's
going
to have him on the Flex show tomorrow night.
Trying. I did. He hadn't hit me back yet.
Efforting.
He might be big-timing me now.
Keep efforting. Okay.
I am.
You can get him there. Talking about the working dog. My kind of working dog brings me beers and tacos. That's a dog worth $27,000. Right there. I'm just going to say that. They said that.
It's one of those deals, Craig. I've gotten so sloppy over the years that, there are times before, it's been so long since I haven't had a dog, but you're cutting something like in the kitchen and
right.
You might drop like a breadcrumbs or something
it's
on
gone.
The ground. Yeah. It's to the point now where I have to call the dog over there, one of them, and it doesn't matter which one it is, and you have to really point it out and lead them to it. And
yeah.
It's like, I could have done this myself by now. I tell them all the time, I'm like, a few years ago, you were so resourceful and could do this yourself and would hang out and wait for me to drop something.
Our friend at Allstruck Construction says, Kelpies are one of the ancestors of blue heelers and red heelers. Badass breed, but that dog can't catch $27,000 worth of cattle or sheep that a good horse can't. Okay. All right.
What does a good horse cost?
I
need somebody to text that
out.
I'm not in my depth on that.
Frenchies are selling for $20,000 to $40,000, depends on the DNA.
That's a car. That's a really good that for my wife and I. That might be two cars.
Okay. Victor says dog get hit by a car next day and you're out $27,000. Well, on the ranch, probably chance is going to be lit.
That's pretty morbid, man.
Yeah.
Talk about dogs getting hit by cars. Now you're going to remind me of my sad dog getting hit by car story.
Okay, Bisboss, you're going to have to help me on the exchange rate here. You said I paid 1,000
pounds
something. Is that euros?
Oh,
for
euros,
my border collie in Italy 10 years ago in Italy. Okay. And then look at this text right here before I kind of translate it into Jones. first of all, it said that the fur blocks the sunscreen. Then says I spent $1,500 on a lab once. Okay, said that dog better go in the toilet and wipe itself. Yeah, but didn't quite say quite the deal on that. And
just hope it's not number three.
Mm-hmm. And somebody getting back with us, and thank you for telling me about 101.9. Never knew I had a better alternative for Georgetown, so there you go. And Allstruck Construction wants you to know it's $50,000 to $75,000 and beyond for a good working quarter horse.
That's in the ballpark of what I figured. I figured probably 40 on the low end. So
yeah. So that's what it's going on there. It was euros. Miss Boss will let me know. The exchange rate was $1.60 to the euro at the time. So so it was a lot of stuff like that. So somebody thanking me for reading that text about what the dog better do in the toilet. You understand why I have to kind of clean that language up that you put in there? We get where you're going though with it though. Yeah. Does kind of remind me of what's it, Jinx the cat there and Meet the Fockers, Meet the Parents.
Yeah.
The cat that would go in
Jinx
the toilet.
Cat.
Yeah. So fact of the day.
Fun fact of the day.
Yes.
80 days away from kickoff.
Yes, we are. 8-0.
We mentioned Kevin Durant had a monster game last night.
Cade Brewer days until
Yeah.
Until kickoff.
Alex Okafor, Tim Crowder.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm doing some work last night, and I keep seeing updates from the Nets-Bucks game pop up on Twitter, and I'm thinking, I probably need to get over to TNT because it looks like something really important's happening. Thank goodness I caught about the last 7 or 8 minutes of that game. And as it's wrapping up, I'm thinking, which, by the way, did you see there was almost an incident last night with PJ Tucker?
Again?
Another one? Yeah, he got tangled up with Blake Griffin.
That part I didn't see. I missed that.
On a rebound towards the end of the game, trying to rebound a free throw.
Yep.
And had a nice lengthy chat with one of the officials. But, you know, watching Kevin Durant last night, it was vintage Kevin Durant. And as somebody who appreciates his game, it was kind of nice to get in the way back machine a little bit, the not too distant way back machine, and see Kevin Durant go for 40 and have the kind of game he did last night. But Craig, since we are 80 days to kickoff, there might be some Longhorn fans thinking, all right, Jeff, what does Kevin Durant have to do with the number 80 in Texas? Well, one of the reasons why Kevin Durant ended up at Texas, not the reason, and maybe not even a main reason, but it helped nudge him in that direction, is a guy that wore number 80 at Texas. Because Kevin Durant's dad knew Lavelle Pinckney.
There you go.
And Lavelle Pinckney,
out of the D.C. area,
once upon a time,
recruited by Bucky Godbolt,
gave the Durant family a really good recommendation on Texas. Mm-hmm. Austin's a great place. It's a great school. You'll have fun. Now, you do have, like, Russ Springman, I think, offered him before any other major school did, yep, and saw him early. And there's the whole Kevin Durant to Texas story. But Lavelle Pinckney, don't forget, is a really big part of that. And, Craig, you've been doing this long enough. When you talk about guys at Texas, you know, talking about just got unrealized talent guys that, man, you just watched them the first time and you're like, unless this guy just messes something up, he's going to be in the National Football League. And Lavelle Pinckney was one of those first guys that just oozed Sunday talent. It just never, he was a wide receiver, and then he tried the tight end thing.
And it just didn't
It just
work.
Never really clicked. And he actually, he ended up getting drafted, I think.
Rams.
By the Rams.
Yeah.
It was like sixth round. And never really stuck in the league. But you talk about a guy that was uber talented.
Absolutely.
When he was on the 40 acres, Lavelle Pinckney was.
No doubt. You can ask Bucky Godbolt about him, too. He'll tell you.
Yeah.
But he was. And we saw all the uber talents on display last night for Kevin. That was just something else, what he did in the ball game. And I had to flip back over. I'd flipped over because I was also watching Snoop's Rangers blow the 2-0 lead to the Astros and lose on to Jeff's Astros and lose on the Altuve walk-off grand slam in the bottom of the 10th. Linda had mentioned to me, you have a quizzical look on your face, Noob. Did you not know that they lost on an Altuve walk-off grand slam in the bottom of the 10th?
Did not.
Did you click over when the Rangers were up 2-0 in the 7th inning? Is that the deal? Because Linda saw that and said, hey, the Rangers are leading 2-0. I said, they're only setting you up for the heartbreak. Told her that. I said, they're only. Now, she's a Dodger fan like me, had become that, but she grew up around the Metroplex, so she likes the Rangers.
You know what I was watching?
What are you
watching? I was watching Tyler Glass now have his meltdown not being able to cheat anymore.
Yeah.
And being upset about it.
Yeah.
You know, Craig, I think before the year started, we talked about the AL West.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we have Gene Watson on to preview baseball?
Sure did.
And, you know, we talked, Gene was pretty confident. Like, the Astros, they're just still so, even with the pieces they've lost, they're still so talented, they'll figure it out.
Yep.
The Angels are going to be an interesting story. We knew it was
probably. They've really started to come on now, the Angels.
We knew it was probably going to be a tough year for the Rangers.
Yeah.
But in that AL West, when you look at the standings right now, the one team we never talk about, and we do this, and when I say we, I mean the sports community that cares any iota about Major League Baseball. We never take seriously or discuss those swinging A's out in Oakland.
It's true.
And you look up at the division, and you see the Astros are 2.5 games back, looking up at the Oakland freaking Athletics.
Mm-hmm.
Death, taxes, and the A's just randomly being in first place in mid to late June.
Yeah, I start saying getting hot in the summer.
Yeah.
They've won 8 of their last 10. They've won 5 in a row. And so, yeah, they're playing really well. You know, for all of what you were saying about Tampa Bay, Snoop, and Glasnow, you know, here's Tampa Bay is still up. They have the best record in the American League right now. In fact, they have the best record in all of baseball by one half game better than the Giants. And the Giants continue to be said. That was, if you, I'm telling you what, if you were a fan, for whatever reason, of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and if you,
bless
and,
your heart, if you
and,
are.
And by the way, if you're a fan of the Rangers and you're feeling bad these days, don't feel too bad. Take a look at the D-bags these days, okay? Because it's really, really bad. They've lost, is it 21 in a row on the road now? They've lost 12 in a row overall, and I think they've lost 21 in a row. They're one shy of the major league record for most consecutive road losses. So, and it's 22 by the 1963 New York Mets in their second year of existence. That's how bad that I'm. And they have found all manner of ways in which to lose baseball games. They've been blown out. They've been beaten in close games. They've been beaten in slugfests. They've been beaten in one-run games. They've been beaten with errors and things. They found a different way last night. They had an 8-3 lead over the Giants going in, and I'm keeping up with this because obviously I'm watching my guys. You know, I'm watching the Dodgers as well. We were trailing by a game. And I thought, wow, okay, it looks like the D-bags are finally going to get off of this schneid. They're going to beat them, and the Dodgers are going to win, and then they're going to be tied for first. Well, two things happened. First of all, the Dodgers committed two grievous errors and allowed the Phillies to tie, so I really had to stay dialed into them. Finally, Mookie Betts remembered he was Mookie Betts and just took over the game, both in the field, hit a home run, and then got a key hit, by the way. And they pointed out, because last night was the first game at Dodger Stadium at 100% capacity this year. So it was the first time, I hadn't thought about this, that Mookie Betts got to play in front of a capacity crowd at Dodger Stadium. Yeah, and it was true. On the night where they give it, it was, no, tonight is Mookie Betts' jersey giveaway night. So he just went off, and he didn't look like the Mookie's been struggling this year, batting about 260. He looked like the Mookie was batting about 360 most of last year, or a lot of last year. So I'm watching that, and all of a sudden I flip over the Giants tournament. Now it's 8-5. Okay, but it's in the bottom of the eighth. And then I flip back over and I'm watching the Dodgers get all of a sudden Joe Davis goes, yeah, out in San Francisco, it was 8-3 and it's 8-5. And Mike Yastrzemski just hit a grand slam and the Giants had just won 9-8. So they found another way to do it.
Gabe Kapler's doing a pretty good job with that Giants team.
Yes, absolutely. People keep expecting them to go away. They're not going away, not right now anyway. Meanwhile, the Diamondbacks are 20-48. And losers of 12 in a row and 21 in a row overall. So they're 21 in a row on the road and 12 in a row overall. So, yeah, it's bad there. But so if you're feeling bad as a Ranger fan at 25-42, there's the Diamondbacks are 20-46. And by the way, the Orioles are awful too. They're 22-44. So the Rangers are not the worst team in baseball. Not far from it, but they're not the worst team.
So I've got a quick anything else you want to wrap up on the baseball discussion, Craig?
That was what I had.
Okay, I got a quick college football note before we hit the break and talk college basketball with Kevin Flaherty and some Texas basketball specifically. So did you see a couple days ago where George Reister III came out on Twitter and said there was a potential major scandal brewing in the Pac-12 that could alter legacies and change the landscape of – I forget, shift the balance of power out west, I think is how he put it. Did you see that tweet, Snoop? Did you see either of you guys see that tweet a few days ago?
Missed that.
Okay. So we found out what it is, and it's not, like, basically I was thinking, okay, if you're talking about major stuff out west, it's got to involve USC or Oregon.
Of course.
Doesn't involve either of those schools, but keep an eye on this. He actually kind of dumped out what it is this morning. So the NCAA is investigating Arizona State for allegations related to the football program. The allegations include paying players major, in all caps, recruiting violations, COVID violations, and other things that have left serious concern about the coaching staff being able to coach this season.
Really?
As we know, the head coach at Arizona State is Herm Edwards. Maybe they went a little too far with that plan to win the game mindset. Out in Tempe. So, I don't know. But that's what this apparent huge bombshell was, where I thought, okay, is like USC getting the death penalty or Oregon going a little nutso with the Nike money? Like, what's going on? But apparently it's major violations being unearthed at Arizona State.
Wow.
So I don't know if that does anything for the listening audience, but in case you were wondering what this act that was going to, air quote, shift the balance of power out west, that's what it is.
Okay. All right.
I guess that's interesting because Arizona State is on the non-conference schedule for Texas coming up in what was it, Craig, 20, 31, and 32, I think?
Yes. That's right.
So, I don't know.
A little bit down the road there.
It's down the road, but maybe that's neither here nor there, but
yeah.
I had to tie that back to Texas somehow.
So. There you go. A couple of texts before we get to the break here.
And by the way, CB on Twitter giving me a shout-out for mentioning the Lavelle Pinckney-Kevin Durant tie. The photo that CB used in his tweet, I actually have that very same Lavelle Pinckney rookie card.
Do you
in my
really?
Personal collection. I do. It's a from that classic set with a little Rams helmet. Yep.
Yeah.
Have that same card.
A couple other texts about the dogs because we were talking about that Kelpie that fetched $27,000. So you had that one said I paid $1,500 for my Mastiff and then another $1,500 when he got hit by a car. I told him that was the last dollar I would spend on him. My wife was so mad at
me. My wife's uncle raised bull mastiffs.
Yeah.
Those dogs can get a little pricey.
Wow. Yeah. Somebody points out seeing eye dogs range around $60,000. Now, with seeing eye dogs, they, to quote the great Liam Neeson, they have a particular set of skills. So
that they do.
Yeah, they're really, really good about that. All-Star Constructions, the best part of that Astros game was Correa hitting the solo bomb in the ninth to tie it at 2-2. The Rangers were three outs away from winning it. Couldn't do that. Somebody said, is it true that TNT put the snub on Charles Barkley on his rant about fat women in San Antonio? I thought it was funny. Of course, I'm not an obese woman. Is it?
They did. They told him that he can't make fun of, he can't call women fat anymore. He
can't do that
anymore.
I
thought he just called people in San Antonio in general fat.
Yeah, whether they were male or female. And then he always referred to the Riverwalk as a dirty little creek, he used to say. That dirty little creek is what he used to say.
So I remember when he did that, maybe it was the first time he did it, it was during a Spurs highlight, and he said, oh, the fans, they can get up and go get a churro or something.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Making jokes about churros.
Somebody said they just paid $4,000 to have their German Shepherd's knee replaced.
No joke. That is expensive. So our dog, legit, like our black lab Daisy, and apparently some lab breeds, the way they're built are susceptible to this, and Daisy's one of them. She had basically what amounted to like a torn ACL. And our vet, it was a great vet down in San Marcos, told us, like, look, I like that they were honest. Like, look, chances are it's going to heal on its own, or you can take him down to A&M. Because I would have had to take the dog to College Station and get the surgery done.
Wow!
And they're like, it's going to run you anywhere from like $2,000 to $4,000, and there's no guarantee that'll fix it. You're probably just better off letting it heal on its own.
I've had
so the knee surgeries can get pricey for dogs.
Each of my Rhodesian Ridgebacks set me back $2,500. Somebody said. So there's and I grew up. I had from the time I was a teenager all the way till present day. I've had Schnauzers. Miniature Schnauzers, and they're the great dogs and everything. But one thing I noticed, and I haven't had this problem, but others that had Schnauzers said they have trouble with ACL injuries.
Yeah,
they can blow their ACL. So that's that's a problem. Or they can have an Achilles pop on them.
Ooh.
They can go Jonathan Gray on you.
Rough.
So yeah, I've been fortunate.
No pun intended there, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So I try to keep mine from jumping too much. She's eight anyway, but I try to keep her from jumping too much and all that.
Yeah, ours are, let's see, on dog ages. What year is this? So Molly will be 15 in November and Daisy will be what, 12 in August.
You've done well with your dogs.
Yeah. They've lived long, productive lives. Yeah. Well, productive is debatable sometimes.
Well, and
but
as a dog, maybe.
I love those dogs.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, coming up next, Kevin Flaherty to discuss the latest addition to the Longhorn basketball signing/transfer class for Chris Beard. That's next when we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Light the Tower.
This is like the Tower on the Horn. Snoop, please tell me that you weren't playing like the theme from Deliverance because of our next guest joining us. That couldn't have been the
no
reason.
Way, no.
You were doing it because of the earlier discussion,
yes,
about that. Name of this tune is Dueling Banjos, which actually brought about a lawsuit because the guys who did it were sued and I think had to pay to an old country music guy that was in North Carolina. His show used to come on a local show. His name was Arthur Smith, and he had an almost identical arrangement of this back like in the 60s called Feudin' Banjos.
See, look, Specs text line's lighting up. Joe number two right there.
Yeah, don't even go.
When you fit Ned Beatty, of all the things he's done, you think of Deliverance because you can't unsee that scene, Craig.
There's too much that Ned Beatty has done well to have you zero in on that.
To have me pare down his career to that one scene in Deliverance.
See, and that's why our next guest is shaking his head right now, because he knows you.
Yeah,
he knows how we are.
Kevin knows I go down.
With that in mind, I'll let you introduce Kevin.
Yeah, let's go. Actually, can I get my interstitial for the notebook, Snoop?
Yeah, time for the notebook.
Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
I like how you mix in the TV terminology with interstitial there. That's a big
gotta
thing.
Gotta have this little separation. Yeah. Now, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Let's talk a little Texas basketball. Maybe we'll get into some Big 12 and national college basketball, too, while we have on Kevin Flaherty. He is on Twitter at KFlaherty247. He's the 24/7 Sports national college basketball writer. Kevin does a little bit of everything at 24/7 Sports. Very valuable member of the team over there. Kevin, we greeted you with Dueling Banjos, so I hope that was a proper introduction.
Wasn't my choice, Kevin, just saying.
You know, I think if you get to choose your intro music, it's not probably what most people would pick if you get to to pick the walk-up music, you know, like baseball players get.
Yeah, if you wanted, you wanted Welcome to the Jungle, you get Dueling Banjos. It's just such is life sometimes. Kevin, life is pretty good for Chris Beard and this Texas basketball staff. They get Trey Mitchell. This is a recruitment that gradually weaved its way into working out for Texas. In your mind, Kevin, when you sit down to do, and I know the morning after the national championship game, you have your way too early top, for 2022 as a top 22, and then a couple of honorable mentions. As you start to think about those kind of lists and early top 25s, all the moves Chris Beard has made, where do you put Texas in that pecking order?
You know, I think Texas is probably somewhere around 15 to 20 right now, and I know some people are going to have them higher than that. I do think the roster has top 10 upside. The thing that makes me just a little bit more cautious with regard to Texas is I think one of the things that we've seen historically, you know, sort of since we've had access to these immediately eligible transfers and graduate transfers, is that guys usually, when they come in to be stars, aren't typically quite as good at their new stop as they were at their previous stop. And when you look at guys like, you know, Reed Travis coming from Stanford to Kentucky, was picked as, you know, a preseason first team All-American all over the place, wound up being Kentucky's, you know, third option, maybe fourth option. He was still a good player, but wasn't the same guy that he was at Stanford. He saw the same exact thing at Florida when they landed Kerry Blackshear. And a lot of people said, with the way Blackshear finished up at Virginia Tech, this is a guy who is going to come in and be a first-team All-American, made a lot of those preseason teams. And he was merely very good at Florida. And so what makes me hesitant with Texas sort of tying that all in is I think when you look at Texas as a top 10 team and say this is the scenario and kind of circle it, I think you want Timmy Allen to be what he was at Utah. And I think with so many transfers in the portal, we are going to start to see some guys have that level of success that they had at their previous stops when they do, you know, go to a new place and do become a star. But I think that's maybe the one thing that makes me a little bit hesitant about Texas is I think when you want Texas to be a top 10 team, you're really asking some of those transfers to be just as good, if not better, in starring type roles, you know, in Austin. And that's just something that to this date, I don't know that we've really seen that happen all that often.
Kevin, would it be safe to say that when folks evaluate Trey Mitchell's gifts, they talk about him being a scorer and a good angular body and all that kind of stuff, but that probably on one of the things that he can help his upside with is to probably become a little bit better rebounder?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Craig, one of the things I do really love about this Texas team is the variety of big men that they have at their disposal. And I think, you know, Mitchell's a guy that could certainly rebound a little bit better. I think Dylan Dissu probably, you know, rebounds a little bit better. I think when you look at Christian Bishop and what he played at Creighton, where he was really a small ball five, that's how teams are closing games out in the NBA right now, is having a really mobile, switchable guy who can go out there the final 5 minutes of a game and allow you to switch sort of everything on key defensive possessions. And so when you look at all of those guys together, is there room for each guy to maybe take a step forward in a certain area? Yeah, sure. And I do wonder a little bit, I don't know that Texas is going to have the rim protection this next year that you saw with Jericho Sims and with all those long bodies of Kai Jones and with Greg Brown. But I do think that there's a versatility that they bring in, the ability to knock down outside shots, and the fact that Beard can kind of pick who he wants per different situations that does make that big man group, you know, arguably one of the better big man groups in the Big 12 this upcoming year.
24/7 Sports national college basketball writer Kevin Flaherty joining us here on Light the Tower on the Horn. Kevin, let's go to that Texas backcourt. And, you know, the two new faces, Devin Askew coming over from Kentucky, Jalen Tyson, the four-star signee, signed with Texas Tech and ends up at Texas. But, you know, Kevin, you and I have had a lot of conversations over the last few years about these Texas guards, and the three still standing, Andrew Jones, Courtney Ramey, and Jace Febres. If I feel like at the end of the day, you know, when you talk about the versatility of the front court and all the pieces that fit up there, I still feel like we're in this boat where, hey, the upside of this team is ultimately going to be in what do you get night in, night out from those three guards?
Sure. And I do think that some of that is mitigated a little bit by what Chris Beard runs offensively. I think when you've seen his motion offense sort of be at his best, he's had creators at multiple spots. You know, Jarrett Culver was not necessarily a prototypical point guard, but he was the guy that was really creating the most in that offense. And I think that's where Timmy Allen fits in, is he's somebody that can pass, that can find guys out of action, and it really helps to have players who can handle the ball and create it at multiple positions. Having said that, Texas needs to find a point guard, Jeff. And Devin Askew, you know, at Kentucky had kind of an up and down year. You know, there were some issues there. I think, you know, obviously he was he's a talented player, was a high level recruit. At the same time, I'm not entirely sure that Texas's best answer at that position might not be Courtney Ramey sliding over and you know, sort of handling that at the number one. And from what we've seen from Courtney Ramey, if he plays at his highest level more consistently, you know, that could be a plus in Texas's column. The other part, though, is if he struggles at that point guard spot, we could be sitting here, you know, talking, you know, 6 months from now, 8 months from now, and saying, hey, the reason Texas maybe isn't reaching its potential is Texas hasn't been as good at the guard spots as you need to be if you're going to be an elite college basketball team.
So you still see that as the need, whether it develops with Askew or whether somebody else comes in?
Sure, I do. I think Devin Askew, I think that some of the things that he brings maybe are even a better fit at the two at this point in time. I think this strength and conditioning session, Craig, is going to be so important for him, because I think that there were times last year, and it happens to a lot of freshmen, where he was just sort of athletically outclassed. And there were times when when maybe the strength wasn't quite there as well. I thought he did a good job of battling through it. But at the same time, if you're looking right now and you're projecting this Texas team to be a Sweet 16 team, an Elite 8 team, I do think that the point guard spot for Texas is going to need to elevate from sort of where we're looking at it right now in June.
Kevin, let's talk about the Big 12, and you look at the moves that other teams around the league are making. If you had to handicap this conference, where would you put Texas in the pecking order in the Big 12 right now, and who, in your opinion, you know, as we draw closer to the season, is going to be the preseason favorite to win this league?
Because this is the first time we've ever been able to have this discussion and talk about a defending national champion coming from the Big 12.
Sure. Sure. It's wild. And maybe the crazier thing, Craig, is you look at it, I think, you know, the stat is out of the last five NCAA tournaments, the Big 12 has produced four Final Four teams, and they're four different teams. And so you look at, you know, Oklahoma went with Buddy Hield, you know, a year or two after that, you had Kansas with Devontae Graham and that bunch. The very next year, you had Chris Beard's Texas Tech team making it to the national title game. You skip an NCAA tournament, and then Baylor wins it all. And so when you look at that, you know, I think the conference has shown that it's capable of producing sort of these Final Four contenders, if not outright national title contenders, from multiple spots. Whereas if you were to teleport back to just even say 2015, I don't know that you would have really seen that. You would have probably said, okay, if the Big 12 is going to have somebody, it's going to be Kansas. And, you know, that hasn't necessarily been the way that it's worked out. I do think Kansas has had a really big off season. Bill Self, after they lost USC, and it was Kansas's worst loss in Kansas basketball history in terms of an NCAA tournament loss. Self sat there in the post game and basically said, we've got to get bigger, we've got to get longer, and we've got to get a lot more athletic. And I think they really did that with a lot of their additions, while at the same time, if the guys projected to come back do come back, Kansas is going to bring back four starters from a team that was second in the Big 12 last year, and have these new additions like Remy Martin from Arizona State. You know, Joseph Yusufu is a really explosive guard from out of Creighton. They landed a lot of big men, both, you know, they landed a transfer or two and brought in some guys through recruiting. So I think if I were, you know, handicapping it right now, I think I'd put Kansas somewhere around a top five team, Baylor probably somewhere around a top eight to top 10 team. You know, I think, yes, Baylor looks like it's going to lose quite a bit, but I think Matthew Meyer has been a guy that across the Big 12, we've watched this guy the last couple of years and felt like his star turn was sort of coming. And if he returns to school like is expected, I think he has a chance to be an all Big 12 guy. You know, Adam Flagler steps up after being such a good sixth man for them last year. They add James Akinjo, the transfer from Arizona, and they land, you know, one of Scott Drew's best recruiting classes, including one that brings in a five-star wing in Kendall Brown. And so I'd put Baylor sort of in that range. And then I think you're talking about Texas at number three. Now, initially I was thinking West Virginia higher, and I had West Virginia higher sort of in my early rankings. But with West Virginia losing Derek Culver, I think there's a very real question mark about what they're going to do in the post in Morgantown. And I think that even if Deuce McBride does return, and they think there's a pretty solid chance that he will, I have a hard time seeing them being able to compete in the post with the teams that we're just talking about in Kansas and Baylor and Texas.
You can get him on Twitter at KFlaherty247. Get his work at 24/7 Sports. Kevin Flaherty, he is the national college basketball writer for 24/7 Sports. You can also see some of his work pop up from time to time at CBS Sports. Kevin, appreciate the time as always. I promise next time we will bring you in with something other than dueling banjos.
Yeah, it'll be something uplifting.
Sorry,
hopefully,
Kevin.
Yeah,
and hey, look, last time you were in town, you know, we had a really good lunch. You and your wife and I had a really good lunch at Terry Black. So next time you're in town, we'll have to hit somewhere else on the barbecue scene next time you're down here.
Hey, sounds great. You know, I'm always down for some good barbecue as long as long as it's not out in rural nowhere and there are banjos around the corner, because that's going to make you, you know, have to look around your shoulder a little bit and make sure you're doing okay.
Point taken. Point taken. Duly noted there. Kevin, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. That's Kevin Flaherty.
I'll make sure we avoid Gerald at all costs.
Oh, stop it. We're making those comparisons over there. You're going to get a Gerald audience upset about that.
So I thought that was a really realistic look Kevin gave at Texas. That's why I value Kevin's college basketball opinions. I know this is, in terms of talent, it's a top 10, maybe even a top five roster, but it's still got to fit. It's still got
to fit.
A lot of work to be done this summer for the staff.
And that's the work they'll be grinding about. There's no doubt about it. They'll be doing that.
Getting on it right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll be back to wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower on the Horn.
The Triple Option.
Jeff Perlman has a book about that. I haven't done that either.
Rumors spreading round in that Texas town. About the shack outside the game. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
Ah, here it comes, right here, Snoop.
I'm racing.
Ah, yes, the little old man from Texas. Since we were talking about LaGrange, I know those of you were picking up the country station LaGrange because of the tropospheric induction that was wreaking havoc with FM radio signals all around the greater Austin, Central Texas area.
Hey, did you notice, Craig, that after we had the dueling banjos and had our Ned Beatty conversation with Joe number two texting what he texted, one texter just texted a pig emoji?
Yeah, I saw that.
I should have used LaGrange before Mr. Flaherty.
It's all good. Joe number two. Trust me, Kevin thought it was funny.
Yeah. And really and truly also, we appreciate everybody hanging with us while this kind of passes through this little vortex.
This too shall pass.
It will. And hopefully things will be back to normal real soon. Again, appreciate those of you listening on the app. Somebody mentioned they listened in on TuneIn, so they've been able to do that.
You can listen on Alexa, too.
Alexa, yeah, smart speaker devices.
We got several of those Echo devices in the house.
Yeah.
My three-year-old carries on conversations with Alexa.
That's good.
So when Alexa doesn't play the right nursery rhyme song, watch a three-year-old get mad about technology. It's a hoot.
That is.
Hey, real quick, Craig, on this Arizona State story that I mentioned earlier. So this is kind of the big West Coast story that apparently the crux of what the pro football program is at Arizona State is under investigation for. Yeah. How about hosting prospects during the dead period, among other reported violations?
Not good. That's not good.
Yeah.
What is good is that the Longhorn baseball team's getting ready to go to Omaha. So I'm going to hop on a plane with them and head up there. And you'll be emanating the airwaves from the Fairmont.
With pants on and a collared shirt.
Good on you. And closed-toe shoes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that.
Check all those boxes before you do that. So Jeff will have the program from there tomorrow where Coach Sark will be the keynote speaker there, the luncheon for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Austin. So that'll be tomorrow. And then I'll rejoin on Friday morning. We'll have some conversations from Omaha on the eve of the College World
Series. How about our lineup coming up next? We do have the skins part, shirts and skins.
Yeah.
And filling in with Trey Elling and filling in for Chad today for at least the first hour.
Yeah.
What about Isaiah Collier? You want your NBA fix?
Put some Zay for you there.
TMZ's going to drop some hoops knowledge.
You have to
coming up next.
Grudgingly love on Kevin Durant a little bit. Actually, he's better with KD than some of the others are in there. All right. Thanks so much to our man behind the glass, Snoop Daniel, and former co-host Jeff Howe. I'm Craig Way. Thank you for joining us. We'll visit with you next time on Light the Tower.
The Longhorns are heading back to Omaha.
For the 37th time in its history, more than any other school in the nation,
The Texas Longhorns are going to the College World Series. The Longhorns defeat South Florida